Timory Millington has been a passionate advocate for life as long as she can remember. Even with a busy speaking and radio schedule, she finds time to devote to her creative love of dance. Don Johnson is an author, speaker, and major motion picture film producer. Both hold master's degrees in theology, and together they cover the week's hottest stories from a Catholic worldview. From the Southern California studios of Immaculate Heart Radio, you're listening to Trending with Don and Timory.
Lots to get to today, Timory. Jim Gaffigan news, some Supreme Court decisions that we think are interesting. But first, I got to vent about some days I go to bed thinking I'm going to move to an island, get completely off the grid. My kids can leave that island when they're like 60 or something, because I tell you, I mean, we talk about this all the time.
Are you intentionally choosing the post childbearing years for your children here?
Probably.
Okay.
Yeah, that's good. You know, we try as parents, right, and as brothers and sisters to protect our kids, protect our siblings, and the culture just makes that incredibly hard, especially with all the social media access that everyone has. And so we've talked about phones, and listen, I'm not a Luddite. I like technology. I think that it's, good in many ways and very handy. And hey, I like my Amazon Prime and having stuff show up an hour.
I love Prime.
Listen, I like all that stuff. But some days, so here's what happened. I didn't realize, and this is my own ignorance, I try to be on top of these things, but I didn't realize, just to get cut right to the chase, that on Instagram, you could just find hardcore porn very, very easily.
Yes.
Now, you were aware of this.
Yes, Timory. I was very aware of it. I've seen run-ins with kids. I've been in the back seat, and it pops up on their news feed, and you're kind of looking like, hey, do I bring this up at the moment or not?
Yeah. So just as a heads up for you parents, or maybe you're out there trying to deal with your porn issues. I know a lot of us, do. I get that. And you think, all right, well, things like Facebook, things like Instagram. Instagram is owned by Facebook, by the way. They don't allow porn on their sites, and therefore you're safe. So, for example, in my family, we don't let kids just browse the internet. We have all these blockers on, and on some devices you can't even really get on the internet as far as, going to websites, but you can use apps. And so we try mm-hmm. to limit them to certain apps that we think are, relatively safe. And I thought Instagram was sort of one of those, and again, it's my own ignorance. No. Now, the thing is, Instagram, here's the thing, folks. So you can have all the blockers. You can have all of that stuff on your...
But that's for a browser.
Yeah, exactly. That's a big difference.
Yes.
And in fact, just to throw this out there, Timory, you can go on your browser. At least this is my experience now in researching this. You can go on your browser, go to Instagram, like the website Instagram, and find your porn, and it doesn't show up on your browser as porn.
Mm-hmm.
Just throwing this out there,
well,
right?
And this is one of those things I'm not sure you're aware of. I have to relook at the numbers, but last I knew, Facebook had been the top place where people were going to search for things. It was not Google, it was Facebook. And so similarly on Instagram, especially the younger generations, they want to see anything. They can look up a hashtag on Instagram, Facebook, and that's where they are searching.
Yeah, absolutely. And so that's how I became aware of this too. It's the hashtags that show up. You can just hashtag whatever you want and it pops up. Now, Instagram is apparently a site that does not allow porn officially.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, they can't keep up with it.
You
so there's just millions of videos and images uploaded every day, and sometimes they're there for a few hours, sometimes they're there for a few days, but it doesn't matter because you can always find mm-hmm. millions of videos and images on Instagram. Just a heads up, parents, though, that's not, I don't think, going to show up on your blocker. That's going to your kids have access to that. If they have access to Instagram, they have access to porn. And so
your kids don't have to go out searching for it too. Just
no,
to be clear,
right.
If you're on Instagram, you're on the Instagram app. You can look at your own news feed. You can look at your own profile. You can look at maybe who's liked your page. But if you tap the search button, automatically content comes up before you even typed a word in for what you want to search, especially for young boys.
Yeah.
What automatically happens most of the time is before they've even researched something in particular, there's porn that comes right up in their news feed.
Yeah, the most popular searches
yes,
pop right up there. Here's what you'd like to see.
For that demographic, exactly.
It's
so beware.
Yeah, just beware. But I mean, it's...
This is, I think, where we have to teach children in many ways. They are going to have pornography slapping them in the face consistently. That's just the culture we live in right now. So it's better to talk about it ahead of time, or even now if you haven't spoken to your children about it. But honestly, good pictures, bad pictures. It's a book to talk to your kids about pornography. I actually travel around giving presentations on this because parents, it's so easy to talk to your five-year-old without even mentioning the word pornography about how to protect themselves and understanding good images versus bad images.
And here's a philosophy I've been trying out, at least with my teenage girls. We'll see, you know, as they get older, how well it worked. But I approach porn, and you're right, I approach it assuming that it's there, they're going to see it, it's out there, unfortunately. But I approach it as a healthcare issue, so somewhat similar to smoking, right? I don't sense that my kids are tempted to smoke. In fact, they look at people who smoke and like, well, what are you doing? Like, are you sure you really want to do that? I mean, inhale lungs is a dangerous thing. That's sort of how I approach the porn topic. Like, this is a health hazard. If you want to damage your health in all sorts of ways and your future relationships, that's what this will do. Mm-hmm. As opposed to, and I sense in the past and maybe even today a little bit, it gets approached as a more like an old school moral issue. Well, you just don't do that, you know, like, and you're going to get in trouble if you continue to do that. And I'm not sure that's all that. I mean, hey, if that works for your kids, fair enough. But I just want to throw that out there.
Well, like, Utah labeled the issue of pornography as a public health crisis. And other places are trying to do the same thing because it is, especially in a time where we're so focused on mental illness. This is something that's leading to severe psychological struggle.
Yeah. And if you just say, hey, don't do that, and you don't explain some of the dangers and all that stuff, kids tend to say, well, I get that sense of pleasure when I look at it. And they're not going to buy the whole, oh, well, this is bad for me. They're just going to say, oh, you're just throwing up rules that make no sense. And so... Right. Again, I'm struggling out there with all the rest of us parents, right? But keep up the battle, and don't think that, oh, I've got a good kid. I don't want to disparage your kid, but it doesn't matter if you have a good kid or not.
Well, okay, the perfect example is Ted Bundy. Ted Bundy came from a model Christian home, great parents, and he even says he wanted the world to know the serial killer before he was killed because he ended up receiving the death penalty. He asked for a tell-all interview, and what ends up coming out is he said, I need the world to know that no one is safe. It started for me with pornography. I think he found it in a trash can or at a friend's house. And he said from there, it led to such a strong dehumanization of the person. And I came from a fantastic home. It was pornography that kind of turned you into this snowball effect, rolling deeper into sin and objectifying a person.
Yeah, I think that's an excellent point. Like, you may have a great home, and I'm not saying you don't.
Yes.
There's a lot of great homes out there and a lot of great kids who legitimately are doing their best. They make good decisions all the day, but they get hooked into porn sometimes, and I think probably most of the time, not because they went out searching for it.
Right.
It comes. I mean, my first exposure to it was way back, and I got a great home. You know, you had no internet or any of that stuff. But you know what happened? One of my buddies, their family got a satellite dish, and we're out in the middle of nowhere, right? Like in the middle of nowhere, Midwest, Saskatchewan. I would drive all over the place on my motorcycle. I had this little Honda 50. Yeah. And so I'd go visit my friend. And I don't think, you know, it's not like my parents thought, hey, you know, you're going to be exposed to porn anywhere. In fact, I had seen maybe a couple of motorcycle magazines, but it wasn't really readily accessible.
Yes.
Yet I went over to my friend's house and his parents were there. He's like, oh man, you won't believe this. Look what I found on the satellite dish.
Naughty boys.
Yes.
Naughty boys. But here's the curiosity that kicks
in a sense. Yeah, I mean, that's just, I wasn't looking. My point is I wasn't looking for it. Kids are going to be kids. They're going to search. They are curious.
Well, and
it's so easy.
there's a sense of wonder, right? When you see all of these stories of people like Matt Frad, Ted Bundy, they talk about their first interaction, how it was a sense of awe and wonder at the mystery and truly the wonderful elements of the human body. But at the same time, there's this gut feeling of, ooh, there's something wrong about me looking at this.
Oh, yeah, there always is. And if you don't get that something wrong, you can probably be assured you've gone too far. Here's another little thing that I do. Again, I'm just throwing out suggestions. We're all in this together. I've employed my teenage daughters on behalf of the younger siblings, saying, listen, you guys know what's out there. You guys know that this is readily available. And somehow we have to work as a team to protect, you know, the 9-year-old boy and the 6-year-old girl. Like, yeah, we've got to be together on this. It's not something I want hidden in the shadows as far as, well, you know, we all, it's out there. No, let's get it out in the open as far as, this is a real struggle in our culture. This is a real struggle in families. This is going to hurt your relationships. This is going to hurt your ability to love. Yeah. Parents, siblings, realize that it is so readily accessible and your kids are looking at it, and those apps, all the apps, as hard as you've tried to keep them from it, it's there. Yeah. So unless you are going to move to the middle of nowhere and get rid of all tech.
Get off the grid.
Yeah, to get completely off. I mean, seriously, unless you're going to get completely off the grid, I don't think you can keep it from kids. Mm-hmm. So you're going to have to be open about it and discuss it with them and realize that, hey, we're all in this together and battle it.
Timmery and Don will be right back. Tweet them at Timmery. That's T-I-M-M-E-R-I-E and at Don Johnson Media. From the studios of Immaculate Heart Radio, you're listening to Trending. Trending with Don and Timmery, offering an eternal perspective on today's hottest topics.
I can't tell you how often, Don, I receive texts from different friends and individuals saying, hey, I'm listening to the show. Thank you for covering this, whether it's been a pornography, a recent television show, whatever it might have been. And I have to tell you, it's constantly interesting for me because, you know, you kind of feel like, you know, your friends aren't necessarily the people who are listening to your show. You don't expect that. And it's been incredibly humbling for me to see that this is what a lot of people are listening to. They're listening to Trending because we're talking about current topics. And it's been amazing to see that there's this hunger for a Catholic perspective on some of the most challenging parts of our culture. And so I want to encourage you as a listener, please grab the link to the shows that you enjoy and text them to your friends, because we're all in the car all the time. Maybe we're getting ready, whatever it might be, and we can sit and listen to a podcast as we do that. And it's helping people to encounter and be in the world, but not of it.
I was just listening to a different show on the way in, and they were bemoaning the fact that so much of talk radio, they felt, and this was coming from talk radio guys, so much of talk radio, they thought, was about stuff that nobody actually talks about in real life. Mm-hmm. Like, nobody cares about that, but here's what I am thinking about, or this is what I am talking about. And so they threw out a couple of topics and said, did you discuss this with anybody outside of radio yesterday? No, of course not. Yet, I think on Trending, we're actually talking about stuff that we do. I mean, that's where we get our topics, right? The stuff that we've been chatting about. Exactly. With our friends and family. So, yeah, great point.
So please text the link. And then for anyone who is in Southern California, or maybe you can send your children to Southern California, there are two camps I'm speaking at this summer, voxvitae.org. They're Catholic pro-life camps. We're providing chastity education. We're actually talking about pornography, as we were just talking about. We're talking about pro-life apologetics and helping young people to defend the right to life for the unborn, but especially starting with themselves. Who they are, what are we made for? And because we understand that we as human beings are special, there's something special about children. Women deserve better than abortion. There will be incredible speakers, Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse, Doug Berry from EWTN, Astrid Bennett, others. It'll be a great camp. Please check out voxvitae.org. There are two summer camps for kids and an adult evening series.
I think it's an interesting that you brought up how really this is about understanding who you are as a person. Like, it starts with what's the meaning of life,
right? Right?
Pro-life apologetics starts with what's the meaning of your life personally, and then moves up
Absolutely.
From there. So highly recommend it, voxvitae.org.
Yes. I'll
be up there one of those days.
Yes,
Timory.
Awesome.
We're going to bring the camera crew and talk to Dr. Morse, among others.
Wonderful.
For the new documentary that we're just starting to film. So we're excited about that. So yeah, please do text the show, find it on iTunes, subscribe, text to your friends, go to voxvitae.org, and you can always go to trendingdt.com if you want to just go directly to the trending page.
Yes.
So I was scanning through Instagram, not thankfully seeing any porn on it yesterday, but I did see one of my favorite comedians and his family out at the New York City Pride Parade, and this raised quite a hubbub in the Catholic social media world. I'm talking, of course, of Jim Gaffigan and his family. I do think the guy's hilarious. I saw him in Long Beach not that long ago. And, you know, in general, just a nice, clean, not, it hasn't been in the past. I actually don't recommend you go and just search for all of his old routines because they were more vulgar in the past and a little bit more crude. But most of the time these days, pretty clean, pretty family friendly. And his wife is, at least, Jim, I mean, they're Catholic, and they're public Catholics.
Publicly Catholic. Yeah, a lot of people talk about them being Catholic.
Yeah, I want to say that sort of hesitantly, because before we get into this hubbub about Gaffigan, I do want to throw out, I don't think that Mr. Gaffigan would appreciate, I don't think he appreciates the label of public Catholic. He's not a guy who goes out there and just sort of waves his Catholicism and says, hey, I'm the Catholic guy, you know, I'm the guy you look for good Catholic comedy. In fact, I think he sort of tries to shy away from that. I don't know, did you see his sitcom at all?
I did not see his sitcom.
I didn't see the whole thing, but I know that one of the first programs that aired, one of the first episodes, was all about him dealing with being a public religious person. The episode revolved around him being asked to carry a Bible down to the local parish. His wife wanted him to, and his wife, of course, is the more religious one. And all that resulted from people seeing him with a Bible. And it wasn't all good, right? In fact, a lot of it wasn't good. And so I know that he's thought about this stuff, and that he shies away from the whole notion that, hey, I'm primarily a Catholic. In fact, I don't think he wants. So I want to sort of preface the conversation saying that, like, he never asked to be the face of Catholicism in the culture.
But he, at the same time, he has talked about his faith publicly. And I think many people commend him for holding to a very pro-life stance publicly.
Absolutely. And he sort of makes fun of his wife, who she's very, a little bit more vocal about being Catholic. They're obviously very Catholic. It was rejoiced that their show actually brought in the parish and the priest and all of this stuff, right? And so, yes, I just want to, yes, obviously they say they're Catholic. I just want to say,
but this is the
they're not
issue.
Necessarily the face of Catholicism. It's not like, hey, look to me for sound doctrine. Now,
that's
what
but
about
that's
this?
The issue, though, Don. Yeah. A lot of people are looking to anyone who has a public persona, and they're going, that is what Catholicism is. And so if they stray from any teaching, it creates scandal because then people think, well, maybe this is okay, such as what we saw take place this week. So what happened?
Yeah, I mean, so what happened? There they are in the New York City Gay Pride Parade. The actual quote is, I'm so proud of my gay kids. Obviously, that's a joke. Happy Pride 2017 hashtag and another hashtag Pride NYC. And he's got the rainbow heart. So a very pro-gay pride Instagram post and tweet. Then his wife followed it up with another supporting one, and then their kids got into it. Of course, what happened was a lot of people supported this, a lot of likes, a lot of that, but a lot of people were saying, no, you shouldn't be doing this.
Well, the kids are waving rainbow flags. They're all wrapped in their colors of the rainbow, and it's so frustrating because here's a beautiful, large Catholic family that's in the public eye. And yet again, we're seeing another example of saying, hey, let's celebrate the gay lifestyle.
Yeah, it is frustrating. I mean, it's irritating that they're out there. As a Catholic family, I don't think they should be doing this. Let me just throw that out there right in front. Let's address the first common objection, though, Timory. Oh, they're just out there loving people. Shouldn't they just be out there loving people? Didn't Jesus spend time with sinners? Even if they thought that the homosexual lifestyle was wrong, it's okay for them to go out.
There's a huge difference between loving a person and celebrating a lifestyle. You know, I have to say, it's been really tough, especially the last year, seeing a lot of people within the church celebrating the gay lifestyle. It's one thing to love an individual. And I was actually just talking to my mom about this because we were just heartbroken. We have a number of very close relatives who experience same-sex attraction, and actually much older and much older generations. And so I actually grew up with this around me, with relatives' partners around us. And it was something I have to tell you, especially growing up dancing. Oh my gosh, I loved these family members. And I respected their partners as people. They were people who, some of them were lifelong partners in many ways, were always around. But there was a difference between the person and the lifestyle. And we always had to uphold that certain activities within our house around children just wasn't acceptable. And there was a respect held, and there was an understanding that we loved them constantly. And so it's frustrating to see that people are suddenly trying to say, because you and I, Don, won't celebrate a gay pride parade, that we hate people.
Yeah, of course that's not the case. And let's just throw a different example out there. Would Jesus be out in the gay pride parade? Hey, he spent time with prostitutes and all the rest of it, right? Again, there's a big difference between spending time with people and loving people and participating in a public celebration of that.
This
is about saying this is not only okay, this is to be celebrated. This is a good thing. It is a great thing to be gay. No, Jesus would not be out there in a gay pride parade. It is one thing to say, I'm with you as a prostitute. And actually, Chris Stefanik had a good tweet on this. He's like, Jesus spent time with prostitutes, but he didn't raise a glass to prostitution.
Well, there was no example. He was with prostitutes, but there's no example ever of him participating or celebrating what they experience in practicing prostitution.
And of course that wouldn't happen.
I mean, right.
Of course he wouldn't celebrate it. Of course he wouldn't organize a parade or have a toast towards the great industry of prostitution or this wonderful lifestyle. He's like, no, go and leave your life of sin. It is doing you great harm. So no, we shouldn't be out there in a parade celebrating sin. In fact, Romans 1 is very clear about this. Romans 1, 2, 3, where it talks about how sin takes over a culture.
Right.
It's one thing to practice it, but then Romans adds another letter, a layer on that, say not only did they practice it, but they celebrated it.
Right.
They went and went, okay, this is a great thing.
Right.
It's really sort of...
And you put that in context, Don, before it even gets into these different sins of sexual morality, it talks about first, they turn their back on God. You separate from him. You misunderstand human nature. You misunderstand who you are.
And that's really, at the bottom line, what this is all about. It's about turning your back on God, taking control, not submitting to his plan. We'll have a little bit more on this when we come back.
This is Trending with Don and Timmery on Immaculate Heart Radio. To learn more about Don Johnson or Timmery Millington, or to book either of them to speak, visit donjohnsonministries.org or timmery.com. And be sure to share and rate the podcast of the show on iTunes. From the studios of Immaculate Heart Radio, you're listening to Trending. Trending with Don and Timmery, offering an eternal perspective on today's hottest topics.
So, should we, as Catholics, take part in gay pride parades? Obviously, Timmery and I, if you're just joining us in the last segment, we talked a little bit about this in the light of Jim Gaffigan's Instagram post and tweet over the weekend, where he and his family did take part in it, waving the flags. And we're saying, no, we do not think that this is a good thing. You're celebrating immorality. It's not the same as loving your neighbor or loving your friend who has same-sex attraction. No, mm-hmm. this is about celebrating immorality, and that's wrong on all levels.
This is kind of, to put it in a little example. So there are many women in our culture who have had abortions. And we as Catholics, as pro-lifers, continuously work out trying to help provide healing after abortion, the post-abortion syndrome they experience. We love these individuals. We draw them in. We invite them to our tables, invite them into the church, want them to come back into communion. But that doesn't mean we go to a women's march celebrating abortion. That would be wrong. We're celebrating a lifestyle that's harmful to women and children. Same with LGBTQ movement now. For us to go to a gay pride parade, we're actually celebrating something that's damaging to their soul and who they are. Not only to their soul, but these people are not happy. These people are often living in multiple relationships. They're not staying monogamous to one partner. There ends up being a lot of heartbreak over many different elements to that experience, in addition to a lot of people who experience same-sex attraction, even though it's not popular to say, they've experienced some sort of trauma in their past that they need healing from as well.
If you are going to go to a gay pride parade, I might take the example of Joseph Sciambra, I think is his last name. He was at the San Francisco one. A man who has same-sex attraction, has been in the homosexual community for many years, is now a very pro-life, pro-traditional morality Catholic who was out there handing out pamphlets and just loving on people and not taking part in it, waving the flags. But he was there because Jesus loves those men. And that's, I think, what was on his t-shirt or something. Jesus loves you, this sort of thing. So that might be a way to go. Before we leave this topic, Timory, I do want to address briefly the whole notion of celebrity Catholics and the danger that, and you brought this up briefly earlier, the danger that there is in putting too much emphasis on having these celebrity people who happen to be Catholic. I think of like the Wahlberg family, right? Who are Catholics, or politicians, for example, a little less celebrity, but there's a lot of, they're not necessarily Orthodox Catholics.
Yes.
And on what grounds do we put so much stake in having these celebrity folks who are Catholic? I think
or
we
even
need to
television shows that represent Catholicism, right? Same thing.
Yeah, which are usually terrible, right? Like right. they usually represent the Catholic in a bad way.
Right.
But I think of like the Wahlbergs, and didn't we get Mark Wahlberg to introduce the Pope when he was
here?
Yes, I mean, what was that all about?
The
like,
Pope.
On what basis do we have, and I have, you know, listen, no hard feelings to Mark Wahlberg, but this is not a guy who makes upstanding movies. In fact, he even joked about it. He was so, I think his conscience was so pricked when he introduced the Pope that he had to joke about his movie Ted, which is a disgusting piece of filth of a movie.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And he had to say, well, just ignore that. Well, why, you can't, I'm sorry, but you can't just make all of these movies. Mm-hmm. And again, he's not out there saying that I'm the epitome of what it means to be a great Catholic. Or like Colbert, right? Another guy, late night guy, seems like a nice guy. These guys are not necessarily calling on themselves saying, hey, look at me. It's us as Catholics who often look at them and say, hey, great, awesome. We've got these popular people who happen to be Catholics. I'm like, well, not, I mean, I don't see, that's almost putting the world's values ahead of the church's values. And I think we need to be careful about that. That's all I'm saying.
I think that it's hard for a lot of people to separate out, oh, look it, so-and-so is Catholic and they just made an awesome pro-life remark. Celebrate that, but recognize that just like you or I, every part of our life can still be marked with sin. And at times we can misunderstand the church's teaching and be led astray. And so we shouldn't look at everyone's lifestyle just because they're Catholic as representing and teaching us what our faith is. We have a responsibility to really know our catechisms, know our faith, the church documents, come to understand what's happening during Mass. Like, the responsibility goes back on us.
Yeah, and how much in our culture do we look at celebrities as examples to follow? I know that with my kids, it's ingrained in them, not because I ingrained it in them, but the culture, the air they breathe, celebrity is the epitome of success in the culture. I just want to be famous. That's everybody just wants to be famous. The best job now, what kids want to be lately, Timory, is YouTube star. Right. Like, I want to grow up to be a YouTube star. I want to be famous. And along with that, though, we then look at these famous people as, oh, they're my example. And I say, no, listen, that's inverse. They're not necessarily our example. In fact, what it tells to me as a culture is that we're maybe exalting the wrong kind of people if we look at those celebrities in our culture and they're not living the way they should be. And we say, oh, well, that's what I want. No, right. The church is our standard. Orthodoxy is our standard. Let's be careful.
Christ is our standard,
exactly.
Right? Our Lady, the saints.
Yeah,
exactly. You know, if we're sitting looking at television and looking at these movie stars as our sole example of morality and virtue, man, look to your parents. Look to people in your life who you see. That's the lifestyle, not what they do, but who they are. We have to turn back to the saints. Even modern saints are an incredible number of them.
Absolutely. Okay, let's move to some different news. Over the weekend, the Supreme Court granted review in a legal case that is of some interest to us Catholics. Masterpiece Cake Shop versus Colorado Civil Rights Commission is the case. And this is, as you might guess from the title, it's the whole baking a cake thing, right? Like, can we bake a cake that has a particular message on it? Do we have to, or can we refuse?
As a
business owner, can you refuse to bake a cake with a particular message on it? And the Supreme Court has decided they will, in fact, hear this. So, what is this case about, first of all? I think that's one of the main things to look at. And on one side of the issue, you'll hear this is, well, it's a basic cut and dry discrimination case that the bakers are refusing service to a couple with same-sex attraction, and therefore it's discrimination and they should be fined.
Well, what happens is the couple then comes back and says, I experienced severe psychological and emotional trauma, and on that basis they're suing many of these businesses who have refused to take wedding photographs or bake a cake celebrating same-sex marriage. He said, I have no problem baking you a cake. I'll bake you a cake, but I won't bake a cake that's celebrating a same-sex marriage.
Well, and this is the thing. On the other side of the issue, they say, no, it's not discrimination. This is not about me refusing service to a group of people, which is what discrimination-based laws are. You can't refuse service to an African-American person or whatever, right? You can't. Okay. Fair enough. They say this is about forcing someone to proclaim a message that they find offensive, wrong, immoral,
untrue,
a false message, right? And so here are some other examples that they would present on the other side. You can't go to a bakery owned by an African American and force them to put a Confederate flag on a cake and have it presented. In fact, in Colorado, just recently, there was a similar case where the Azucar Bakery in Denver was found not guilty of discrimination when they refused to bake a cake for a, quote, Christian person wanting Bible verses written on it. And I think they wanted verses about homosexuality. Oh, they wanted God Hates Sin, Psalm 45:7. Put on the cake, and then they wanted a quote from Leviticus about homosexuality being a sin put on the cake. The bakers refused, and they were found not guilty. Now, I happen to agree with that decision.
Absolutely.
In the same way that I agree you should not have to bake a rainbow cake or whatever. It's about message. It's not about refusing service. None of these bakers said, oh, I'm not going to serve you. I'm not going to take your order based on who you are. I'm going to refuse the order based on what you want me to say. That's a big difference, and that's not discrimination. That's just freedom of speech.
Yeah, it's freedom of speech, freedom to direct your business according to how you see fit. Again, different from conducting it and rejecting individual people. It's a big difference. And for some reason, we can't parse that out for many people. They see it as just simple, outright discrimination. And that's where you have to see, if we can't have a dialogue about why I won't make you a cake without respect, if that dialogue's missing, that's when there can be a problem. And I think that that's where a lot of people think, well, people are just saying, hey, I'm not going to make you a cake, I hate you, or whatever. In fact, a lot of these conversations that we've seen come out, that's not how the conversation goes. A lot of the time the people say, I'd be glad to make you a cake, but I can't make a cake celebrating a same-sex wedding or whatever it might be.
Well, sure, or anything. Would we make the bakers make a cake with a swastika on it? Right. It's about the message. That's the issue. Again, we need to clarify, and this is where the dialogue goes a long way. Just stop yelling for a second and let's just clarify what the issue is. Is it about the person making the order, or is it about the message on the order? That's the thing. Is it about doing something that proclaims to society at large, I believe in this?
Yes.
That we don't force our citizens to do that. And just think, if you owned any sort of business, would you want to be forced to put in your window a sign that says something you disagree with? Just pick any sign. That's what this is about.
Timmery and Don will be right back. Tweet them at Timmery. That's T-I-M-M-E-R-I-E. And at Don Johnson Media. From the studios of Immaculate Heart Radio, you're listening to Trending. Trending with Don and Timmery, offering an eternal perspective on today's hottest topics.
Video gaming, what would you say? Do you think that, especially for young men who are unemployed, seeking job opportunities, maybe living with their parents still, that is a fantastic example of giving young men purpose, adventure, helping them to work through tasks? Some people are arguing for this, Don, but the issue is that what happens is they stay on the couch and don't get up into the job.
Yeah, I saw this article this past week from a writer named Hurst, a young man who said that, hey, video games get a bad rap. That it's okay that guys spend all of this time on computers and consoles. In fact, he says, I spend a whole bunch of time with my own 12-year-old son who would play video games 23 and a half hours a day if you let him. And frankly, he's not worried about it. Let me give you some quick stats here. So in the year 2000, 35% of young men without bachelor's degrees lived in their parents' home. Today, that's well over 50%. And among the unemployed, it's actually up to 70%.
Wow.
So that's a lot of 20-somethings living at home with their parents. And the bulk of their time is apparently spent video gaming.
Video gaming. This is a big issue. Man, I look at these numbers and right away I can't help but think, man, a lot of young women are looking for able men, hardworking men, men who are men of virtue, who they want so badly to marry. I mean, we have so many young men and women who want to marry. But where are all the men? They're playing sometimes video games. They're having a hard time getting their life going because they're living in this virtual reality. Yet for some reason, Don, people are defending that maybe men should spend more time playing video games and less time working.
Well,
a Reason magazine, Peter Suderman, argues this exact thing. Video games like work are basically a series of quests comprised of mundane and repetitive tasks. And he says the game is your boss. And he goes on to say, should young men work more and play games less? What obligation do people have to work, raise families, or be conventionally productive in their lives? I won't try to answer. I'm not sure anyone can.
Yeah, isn't that a crazy? I mean, okay, let me not be too harsh. To me, that strikes me as insanity. But as I dig down into it and what he's saying, it actually kind of makes sense, because here's his bottom line argument. He's like, hey, you know what? We're kind of happy. We're not depressed. We're not sad that we're living in our parents' basements. We get to do all these tasks. We get a sense of accomplishment after we have reached a level a million of World of Warcraft or whatever. I don't even know if there's levels. I'm just throwing that out there. But he's like, we have this sense of accomplishment. It's like, and this is the quote he used, it's kind of like the video game is our boss. We're basically doing the same things that
you
people
too.
do at your job.
Right.
And you get the same sense of accomplishment that you people do at your mundane jobs, and we're happy about it. So what's the big deal? So what if we don't have families? So what if we're not bringing in an income that can support a wife and kids and all the rest? So what if we don't have advanced degrees? So what? What do you care? I'm happy with where I am. They're happy with where they are. Who are you to tell me that I should have a different job? And I'm thinking to myself, on one level, according to a particular worldview, he actually makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I'm happy. This is, yeah. But this is the core of it. If I'm happy, why should I change?
Exactly. And in order, how do you deal with somebody like that? As a young woman, say, looking for a husband. And I was a young adult pastor for many, many years. And I'll admit, the gaming thing was a big deal. Frankly, it was a bigger deal to me than it was to even some of the girls. Because I'd be like, listen, this guy that you're dating and you're about to marry, man, he spends a lot of time.
I have two words for you. Drop him. I'm sorry.
Like, they spend a lot of time gaming.
Tell him why. Say, hey, you spend too much time gaming. You know, there's a reason. We have to break up. Explain it. But maybe he gets his act together and comes running after you. That's awesome. That shows some character, possibly. See what he does from there. But if he's spending his life video gaming, I know marriages that are falling apart because a woman marries this man who loves video gaming, sits his whole weekend on the couch video gaming, spends every night, stays up late, hardly gets enough sleep, and then drags himself into work. This is a problem.
That's a huge problem. And I know this too, Timory. Also some young women who have tried to appreciate the gaming, if you will. And I think it's a struggle. I think you're exactly right. Listen, tell them to stop or cut it back or something. The mindset behind it, I think, is not healthy, but it's because it's false. And this is the thing. Your goal in life is not to be happy. Let me just throw that in the sense that they're talking about. Like, see, I get this guy in Reason Magazine, I get what he's saying. He's like, you've told me all my life that life is essentially meaningless.
Right.
That the point of it is just to have as little pain and as much pleasure as possible. And I know some people try that with sex, and some people have their porn, and some people have other things that make them feel pleasure. I feel pleasure doing video games. So what? Who am I to submit to some societal standard that says that I have to go and make money and raise a family and have kids? I don't want to do that.
Right.
And I'm happy. So, and I, you know.
And video games in and of themselves, well, some games are objectively just not good. But video games in and of themselves aren't bad. If you want to spend half an hour here and there with some friends playing, that's great. Enjoy it. The problem is, I think there's also this mindset that I deserve my free time, my extended free time, to play and play and play rather than focusing. We're social creatures. We have obligations to one another. We have obligations to basic self-care for ourselves. And working on a college university, I saw a number of young men who were addicted to video games, would not sleep for days at a time until they beat the game. They wouldn't eat. They wouldn't even have basic self-care. They were sometimes the people who you kind of wanted to avoid in the elevator because the stench was there, but they couldn't see and be self-aware because they were obsessed with their video games.
Yeah. How do we approach someone like that? To me, you almost have to start at a very fundamental level. Like, what is your life all about?
Right.
And for kids, you think, I mean, as you were describing these people, it's like, well, that's like my kid. You know, he likes to play. He likes his little video games, which we do let him do in short periods of time. Your screen time is very limited, but you have a certain amount per day, and it's fun. He enjoys it. But as you grow up, guess what you have to do? Gain some responsibility, have some tasks that you need accomplished, gain some skills that will help you accomplish those tasks. So you have to learn to study and do chores and do all of these other things.
Self-control with how much you use it.
But ultimately, all of that is because your life is about more than just killing time, right? Like, you have to have a broader understanding of what the meaning of life is if the message there is going to reach these young people. Like, families and love, for instance, and this is maybe something we need to do better at. It's frankly something we do a lot here on Trending. What is your life all about? What's love all about? What's relationships all about? if you don't have those fundamentals down, you're going to fall for substitutes. And I love what Russell Moore says about this whole epidemic of video gaming, particularly these war video games, which I think are somewhat dangerous. But anyway, he says he's observed that there's a fake war of video games, and it actually parallels another epidemic, the fake love of internet pornography.
Yes.
Both simulate something for which men long. Through games, for example, and like porn, they're fine in moderation, and porn is not. So, I mean, we're not doing a parallel there. But they become substitutes for the real thing.
Yes.
And so what we need to do is teach our kids that, listen, the gaming and the fantasy worlds and all of that, those things are there and they're okay in a sense, but they need to point you towards something more real.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You can't stay in the virtual reality. There is a broader, more substantial reality that is open to you if you're willing to step through and take it. So the fake love of porn, I think, is a nice example. Well, what you're actually longing for is a relationship with a real person and
exactly.
love. The adventure that you are getting with your video game and accomplishing that level, and now you're up to level 677 or whatever, life is an adventure. It is something to be conquered. It is something to be accomplished.
To grow in.
And you know what the goal is, though? To become a saint, right? Like, actually, we are here to slay dragons and do all of that stuff. That is true. And so don't let me dissuade you from doing all that stuff. But you need to step out of the virtual reality and into the real one and slay the real dragons that are there to conquer your soul.
Right. And I think that a lot of the time we have this attitude with video games that, well, it's okay. He's just doing something. It's giving him purpose, right? That's great. It's making him feel good. Well, people aren't recognizing at the same time. With video games, you're getting an adrenaline rush, which is excellent and great. You're getting an adrenaline rush. When you win, when you conquer, when you beat things, you're also getting dopamine kicks, pleasure highs. And you start chasing the pleasure high of that dopamine being released into your brain because dopamine makes us feel good. The endorphins make us feel good. The adrenaline gives us energy, makes us want to move forward and continue to work. These are in and of themselves not bad things, but if you don't learn to have it with self-control, moderation, you're going to become a slave to it.
And that is the thing with all of these fake substitutes, aren't they? You can become a slave to the fake thing, whether it's video games or porn. And again, we're not making a moral equivalence between the two. It's okay
right.
to dabble in video games. It's not okay to dabble in porn. Just clarify that again. But ultimately, we need to pull out of those things, mature. If you're, you know, 60 and still spending 8 hours a day on your video games, maybe that's a mistake.
Right. Well, text us to a friend. Maybe it's someone who needs to hear a little bit and be awakened about pornography and video games. So we will talk to you next week on Trending.
This has been Trending with Dawn and Timory on Immaculate Heart Radio.
Trending.
To learn more about Dawn Johnson or Timory Millington, or to book either of them to speak, visit DawnJohnsonMinistries.org or Timory.com. And be sure to share and rate the podcast of the show on iTunes.